Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Last night, hundreds of people gathered in San Francisco's Castro District for a candlelight vigil honoring the victims of Saturday's deadly shooting at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs, which has left five people dead and more than two dozen injured.
We're not just mourning. I know for me, I'm also angry. I'm angry that after all these years, our community is still not safe.
That was State Senator Scott Wiener at the vigil at Harvey Milk Plaza. Jacob Stensberg, the artistic director of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, performed with the chorus at the start of the vigil.
You know, it's days like today where every day I'm grateful for community, and I wish we didn't have to be so good at coming together for moments of collective suffering.
California vigils were also held in such communities as West Hollywood and San Diego's Hillcrest District. More than a dozen members of Congress are demanding answers from the U.S. Forest Service after the agency failed to protect a rural Northern California town from a wildfire. CAP Radio's Scott Rodd reports.
The Caldor Fire last year destroyed most of the 600 homes in Grizzly Flats, a foothills community in the Sierra Nevada. A recent investigation from CAP Radio and the California Newsroom revealed the Forest Service predicted for decades that a wildfire could wipe out the town. But the agency's plan to protect Grizzly Flats stalled out.
The Forest Service should be held accountable for that project, because I do think that it would have prevented this catastrophe.
Victor Diaz lost his home in the fire. He's currently living in an RV with his wife and six kids. Senator Alex Padilla of California spearheaded a letter from lawmakers to the Forest Service demanding more information.
There's two main parts for sending the letter. Number one, accountability. But I think even bigger is what lessons can be learned from this experience so that we minimize the chances of it happening again.
The lawmakers asked for a list of other communities at high risk of wildfire, where the Forest Service may also be struggling to complete projects. For the California Report, I'm Scott Rodd.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
An estimated 3.5 million California workers don't speak English well or at all. But the state agency tasked with protecting workers' health and safety doesn't have many workplace inspectors who are bilingual. KQED's Farida Javala Romero explains what that means for the workers.
More than 100 Chinese and Latino essential workers packed a recent town hall in San Francisco. Led by the Chinese Progressive Association and other nonprofits, the event was designed to reach out to people working in construction, domestic health care, drivers, and the like.
We are going to have today's town hall in three languages. We have,
Thomas Xiao spoke at the event. He's a janitor in Chinatown who first came to the city nearly 30 years ago.
我名叫 Thomas, 我是做緊清潔嘅工作。
With help from an interpreter, Xiao told me in Cantonese he used to work in restaurants, but the tendons in his shoulder tore apart from the repetitive motion of tossing a heavy fryer for years as a cook. Xiao had to have surgery, and he said he's seen other workers get hurt on the job too. But when I asked if he ever filed a complaint with state regulators, Xiao shook his head. He'd never heard of the state agency that investigates workplace injuries like his. That would be Kalosha.
I think that's pretty obvious that they don't have the same protections as an English-speaking worker.
Michael Horowitz is a retired Kalosha inspector in Oakland. He says low-wage immigrant workers with limited English are especially reluctant to speak up because they fear losing their job. And should an inspector visit their job site,
it's a lot more difficult for their problems and their hazards to be brought clearly to the attention when a state health and safety inspector actually is at their workplace.
Out of the more than 210 Kalosha inspectors statewide, only one is certified as fluent in Cantonese. Only one is certified in Vietnamese.
You cannot possibly be addressing the needs of those immigrant workers.
David Chu is city attorney in San Francisco, where, unlike the rest of the state, more workers speak Chinese than Spanish.
When you have literally millions of Californians who speak other languages, who are particularly vulnerable to workplace exploitation, the lack of language ability on the part of staff means we don't know what's happening. We can't enforce the law, and workers' lives and their health and safety are at risk.
Kalosha officials declined an interview with KQED. But the agency says they have more staffers who speak a second language. It's just that they haven't passed a state certification exam. A spokesperson with the Department of Industrial Relations, which oversees Kalosha, says they're trying to attract bilingual candidates. But with nearly 30% of positions vacant at Kalosha right now, the top priority is just hiring qualified people. That's really difficult to do when private industry can pay more and hire faster, says San Jose Assemblyman Ash Kalra. He heads the Assembly's Labor Committee.
Ultimately, it comes down to putting your money where your values are. And that means we have to not just pay more, but do other kinds of incentives to be able to hire.
Kalra says he plans to hold hearings next year to nail down solutions to this problem, which he says will take both the legislature and the administration to fix. Meanwhile, Janitor Thomas Xiao says with so many workers like him, it seems Kalosha has a lot to learn. If they just come down and meet with us and learn about our working conditions, they could do their jobs better, he says. For the California Report, I'm Farida Jabala Romero.
And that is the California Report for Monday, November 21st. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Thanks for listening, and talk tomorrow.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, providing people with financial tools like the Retirement Planner to help them achieve their financial goals, personalcapital.com. Guideline, their automated 401k plans can be set up in 20 minutes. More at guideline.com/CA. Guideline, the California way to 401k. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy includes Schmidt Ocean Institute. Coming this fall, the launch of research vessel Falkor 2, advancing the frontiers of ocean science and exploration, on the web at schmidtocean.org.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.